We're going to take a few minutes and talk to you about Jesus tonight. Now, we didn't have too much of a chance to get acquainted last night because we were pushed for time. The services got started late, and it caused us to be a little bit late getting to the Word of God. But I want to say one more time that we're thankful to have you here. We appreciate your presence. And we appreciate the hearty welcome that we received in Jeffersonville, Indiana. There was a little misunderstanding when we first came. And somehow, through the misunderstanding, we had been hindered in getting the tent up. But God worked everything out after prayer and talking to God. He worked everything out. And the Lord made everything possible so that we could be here and preach the gospel here in the city of Jeffersonville, Indiana. And the people have been wonderful. We've received real favor, and they've been very kind to us. They have not been arrogant, nor hardy, nor hateful. They've been very kind to us. I take it by that there must be some wonderful people in Louisville, Kentucky, and Jeffersonville, Indiana, and in the surrounding areas. We had trouble with the big tractor and trailer, and we had to replace a starter, and we sent it over to a certain mechanic to have the starter fixed, and he saw that we was going to have to purchase another starter, which would run $100 or $200 or more, and I sent the money for it, and he refused the money and gave me the starter. And I'll tell you what, people just don't do things like that. You know, when people are willing to turn a loose of dollars, as much money as that is, you know, that means that people must have a respect to what you're doing, and they must be some fine people. And so then, I really greatly appreciate that kind of attitude. Having a little work done on the truck here, and I received word today that the mechanic today that's working on it at another place, one of your places here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, he said that he wanted to give us some free labor, and he's doing some free labor. We're spending maybe about $800 with him in doing some work, but he wanted to give us some free labor on some things, and I think that's wonderful, don't you? We came here to try to be a blessing. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but perhaps David Paul has already told you, but it's cost us something like $10,000 or more to set this meeting in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And most people don't believe that, and most people that are skeptic, they would say that's impossible, but I can assure you that it's not impossible, and it's cost us at least $10,000 or more, so far as I can tell now, just to set the meeting here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And I'm thankful tonight to be privileged to be here and do what little I can, and I'm excited about being here. I hope you're excited about us being here, and I hope you're excited in being here with us. But I believe that inasmuch as God has gone to such great extent in sending us here to this place to have a revival, I hope and want to believe that you're going to work with us and be part of this meeting and do all you can to help reach the people out around Jeffersonville and Louisville and the other surrounding areas. Are you going to try to help me? Let me see your hand. How have you loved the Lord? Let me see your hand. All right, if you love the Lord, you'll help me. Now, I know that I'm a little bit new to you here, and perhaps you're not acquainted with us, and you're not acquainted with our ministry. And you know, it makes it real difficult when a minister comes into town, because the first thing that he realizes is he can't tell you very much about himself, because the Bible said if a man witness of himself, his witness is not true. And so if he starts telling you very much about himself, the first thing you're going to do is close up on him. So he can't tell you much about himself, so you don't learn much so far as knowing anything about the evangelist, unless you just work with him a few days to learn and understand, or to be with him in the ministry. But it would be so wonderful if people could come together with more confidence in Christ and more confidence in their fellow man, in that they see Christ in them, and work with them until they see that Christ is not in them. It would be so wonderful if they could do that. You know, with God, God's policy is that everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Isn't that right? But with the world, their policy is everyone is guilty until proven innocent. I'm glad God's got his the other way. I'm glad God's got his the other way. So tonight, let's believe in our fellow man, and let's believe that they're innocent tonight until they show us that they're the wrong kind of people. Can we do that? Can we do that tonight? You know, there's one thing that I know, that Jeff is a hard place. They told me when I come in here, they said Jeffersonville, Indiana is a hard place, and you're just not going to have a revival in Jeffersonville, Indiana. But you know, God's blessing us. They told us we couldn't get in, but we got in. And God is blessing us, and we're planning to have a revival in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Now, if I was leaning upon the arm of the flesh, I'd say, no, no, it's not possible. If I was afraid to burn a little midnight oil and talking to God, I'd say, well, we better pack up and get out. But since I know God, and since I'm not afraid to burn a little midnight oil to get his favor, we're going to have a revival in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Somebody would say, well, praise God, I'll show you, Brother Pike. You're not going to have one, and you'll see that you don't have one. And just wait and see, and then you'll know. But I want you to know ahead of time, we're going to have a revival in Jeffersonville, Indiana. You know, I'm this kind of person. I love to be sweet, kind. I love to be loving. I love to work with people and do everything I can because we're supposed to do that. That's the way God wants it. But if the devil opposes, I love to just run right over him and go right on if you have to spill the blood to do it and keep going for Jesus. Somebody say amen. When a man won't do that, he's a coward. When a woman won't do that, she's a coward. If you're not in position tonight, and if you're not ready tonight to lay down your life for God, you're a coward tonight. You don't have any place in the kingdom of God, and you don't have any right to eternal life. Now, you might be a babe in Christ, and you might not can understand tonight, and you might not be ready to face that kind of thing. If you're a babe in Christ, God understands tonight that you don't understand those kind of things. But you that profess to have Christ, and you that profess to walk with God, and you that have been on the firing line for a long time, if you've not got season enough tonight to lay down your life for Christ, you don't have the victory tonight, my brother, sister. You need to get the victory for Christ. Because I'll tell you one thing, down the road, you're going to need the victory for Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that we should pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. Did you know that? Did you know that there are some horrible things coming on this earth? And did you know that right now there's people in some parts of the world, they are facing some horrible experiences, and there are people ever since the world begun that has suffered for Christ Jesus. Did you know that? And for the cause of God. And do you know that there's people that's dying this very night for the name of Jesus Christ? Did you know that? Around the world, there's people that's dying. And if you're not willing to be bold enough to step out for God and die for the name of Jesus, then you need the victory. You need to get the victory in Christ. You need to pray through until you can find the victory in God. The Bible said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life for my sake shall gain it. So then tonight, we need to have courage in Christ. Not that you're brave, not that you're bold, not that you're foolish, not that you're troublemakers, but that you intend to stand for God. If that's what it takes, the Bible said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life, but you must be faithful unto death. If you cannot be faithful unto death, you cannot have the crown of life. You love Jesus? All right, so then you see where you're standing tonight. Friend, we've got to be faithful unto death. We come here, this is a hard place. Jeff is a hard place. You are wonderful people. You're very precious people. I can tell that you're wonderful people. Talking with you, I can tell that there's a lot of good, clean, upright people here. But I can tell one thing, that you are a people with a reservation of heart that you will not give your spirit to anybody until you have thoroughly scrutinized him over and over and over. That's all right. There's nothing wrong. You should be very careful because false prophets are throughout the world. But at the same time, I want you to know that when people get into that kind of condition, that they freeze out God in the moving of the Spirit, and a lot of times they'll get into a state of hypocrisy and self-righteousness and find out that God, the great Holy Spirit, hath moved off and left them, and that they're sitting alone without the love of God and without the moving of the Spirit among them. So then you need to be flexible. You need to be tender. You need to be full of love. You need to be full of compassion. You need to be full of concern. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God. A lot of times we feel that we are defending justice when we are not. You know the trouble with the world today? In the political fields and around the entire world, they feel like that they are defending justice when they are defending foolishness. Solomon said, I've looked in the great places of judgment and there is corruption. And great men have allowed corruption to come in. And they're not defending democracy and they're not defending the great things that our father instigated. Our forefathers came and founded a great nation, but they're not in defense of it anymore. They have instigated certain things and manipulated, and they put in stipulations until tonight they're defending something that's making prisoners out of the people. And the people need to rise up and wake up and see this. Now, some folks will agree to that. But brother, let me tell you something. In the church world today, it's in the same condition. In the church world today, you're finding yourself defending doctrines and man-made ideas and disciplines of mankind. You're defending the traditions of the elders as it was in the days of Jesus when Jesus came. You're doing the very same thing today instead of defending the Word of God and the Gospel. And you're barring out the Word of God and you're barring out the Holy Spirit and you're barring out the move of God and defending ideas. In all of these traditions that's been handed down to you when it's not God's Word, nor can it find a place in God's Word. Beloved friends, someday we must answer to God for those things. Therefore, I ask you tonight to search the Scriptures. Last night I made mention of this. Jesus, when he came to the Jewish people, he said unto the Jewish people, he said, search the Scriptures. They magnified Moses and they lifted up Moses because Moses was a great man. But Jesus said, if you'd have really believed Moses, you would have believed me. Said, you don't really believe Moses, nor are you founded in the word that Moses brought. Had you believed Moses, you would have accepted me. Said, because Moses spoke of me. And he said, search the Scriptures. All of those Scriptures speaks of my coming. You trust and confide within the Scriptures, and these are they that speak of me. Search the Scriptures. You will find that they testified of me before I came, Jesus said. So then tonight, what we need to do is to search the Scriptures. We need to lift up Jesus to the world. How many of you believe that Jesus should be lifted up? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we need to be lifted up. You know, in the world today, and I'm going to read just a little passage of Scripture in just a few minutes. But in the world today, people have gotten into such a condition that they are almost motionless in the church. They don't have any motion when it comes to being enthused over the things of God. They feel that they should be very quiet and very still and not have any motion about them. In the things of God, and the devil has pressed the very life out of them and made church services a grievous thing to them, to where they don't even have any joy and any jubilance in going into the house of God. While the world has whipped up the ball games and the races and everything in the world to turn them loose, to where they can have that freedom and they just love to go to the things of the world because they can get loose. But I want you to know the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Bible said, clap your hands, all ye people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God is wanting us to offer praise unto him. God is wanting us to give glory unto him. God is wanting us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God doesn't want us to just sit still and be quiet and do nothing. God wants us to open our mouth and testify of Jesus Christ along the streets, in the offices, wherever we go, beloved friend. For we are his witnesses that he has resurrected from the dead. And we're supposed to witness tonight, and we're to establish the kingdom of God in this earth. How many of you realize tonight that we are here to establish the kingdom of God in the earth?
The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. And tonight, the kingdom of God is in the earth. It's not up yonder somewhere. It's in the earth tonight. And men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. And the Bible said, God hath not going to tomorrow, but he hath already done it. He hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Have you been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God tonight? You know, the Bible said they'll come from the east and they'll come from the west and they'll sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. Now, I know we look forward to this. We say someday, Brother Pike, this will come to pass, and so it will. For someday we'll see this very thing happen concerning the Gentile church. But did you know that this very thing happened to the Jewish church? When Jesus stood there, and the Jews that had been the kingdom of this world, that had reigned under the powers of David and Solomon, did you know they stood right there as people come from the east and they came from the west? And they saw the Gentiles coming from the ends of the earth, and they saw them translated into the kingdom of God. And they themselves, which was the children of the kingdom, were cast out into the outer darkness, rejected by God, and have been wandered in the darkness ever since, and haven't been able to find the true light of Jesus Christ, all because they would not believe. Then God said concerning the Gentile people, be not high-minded, seeing that these natural branches were cut off. Ye being wild by nature, having been grafted into the olive tree, how much easier is it for God to cut off these branches that are wild by nature and to graft into the olive tree their own branches? Its own branches. God is getting ready to bring the Jewish people back in. Beloved friend, the days of the Gentiles is at a close. If you had ears to hear tonight what the Spirit is saying to the church, if you had confidence tonight to confide in the Word of God and the speaker as he comes forth, and we had freedom tonight to speak to you in Jeffersonville, Indiana, we would be privileged to say things that would cause your heart to burn within you as you realize that the things that we're telling you are true. But when we close up our bowels of compassion, when we close out the voice of God, when we say no to that which God sends, then our houses are left unto us desolate. Jesus said to the Jewish people when he turned away from them, he said, I say unto you that your houses are left unto you desolate until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, it has been so that Jerusalem right now desires one day of visitation from the prophets. Just a few words from Almighty God they desire tonight, because their fields have been burned over. And from the time Jesus left, trouble set in 70 AD. Titus just plowed the city, and the city was plowed, and all of the terrible calamities of that time happened. All of the sorrows fell upon them. 96 A.D., John, exiled to the Isle of Patmos, wrote the great book of Revelation and revealed the great expose that we find in the scriptures concerning Calvary, called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And tonight, here we are as the Gentile people looking upon the greatness of God, the unveiled Christ. But what are we doing about it? I'm afraid that some of us are waiting too late. I'm afraid that some of us are not moving with the Holy Spirit. And some of us are moving according to our intellectual indoctrination, our ideas, our feelings, our thoughts, our impressions, or what we can put together in our minds rather than by what God is revealing and by the Holy Spirit or by the Word of God. I'm afraid that this is happening. So then tonight, I come here to try to do my little bit in the kingdom of God to stir you up in mind. Peter said, though you know these things, yet I'd like to stir up your pure mind in God. I'd like to stir you up while I'm abiding in this tabernacle. You know, you've got two minds, and one of them is a carnal mind that loves the things of this world and that relates to the things of this world. And it is enmity to the Holy Spirit and God. And then you have a pure mind, which is called the mind of Christ Jesus. And that mind can be covered up and put out of operation unless you stir it up. But I want you to stir it up tonight, children of God. I want you to light the candle tonight. The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And I want you to light that candle on the inward parts tonight. And I want that little candle tonight to burn. And I want us to come forth in Jeffersonville, Indiana, to show that we are the light of the world. How many of you tonight would like to be the light of the world? I want you to know tonight you can know the Bible from one end to the other. You can know a man's message from one end to the other. You can go to church every day of the week. You can pay tithes of all that you possess and still be void of the Holy Spirit and go into the lake of fire. Without God's Spirit, you're none of His. It doesn't matter what you know or who you know. It doesn't make any difference. You must of necessity have His Spirit. Unless you're born to the Spirit, my brother, sister, you have no part in the glorious kingdom of God. So then tonight, it isn't how much you know. This Bible right here, I thank God I've been privileged to read it. I don't condone ignorance. I'm not standing up for ignorance. You say, Brother Pike, maybe you don't know anything and that's the reason that you're speaking the way you're speaking. I've read this Bible through from cover to cover. I've been through it numbers of times. I've read that New Testament through on my knees. I've carefully read it through. I prayed. I've sought God for hours and for days and many, many times been through this Bible. And I thank God for everything that I've ever read in it, everything I've ever heard in it. But brothers and sisters, it still takes God's Spirit for you to be born again. It's not by power or might, but by Spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are truth. And though we have the printed page here, it must be made spirit for it to benefit you. And faith in God's word tonight can turn it into spirit. You love Jesus? I want to read just a little scripture to you. And I want to exhort you just a little bit tonight. Appreciate your wonderful, kind attention, consideration. I love you. I believe you're very fine people. I believe that you're of some of the highest caliber people I've ever met. And I trust that the reservation of heart toward the glorious things of God can be broken down that we might march together triumphantly and victoriously over Satan into the wonderful things of Jesus. Tonight, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read just a little bit with me from over in the book of St. Mark, the 11th chapter, the 22nd verse. Jesus here, having upbraided the people in the synagogue because of the things that they had been doing contrary to the gospel, he leaves Jerusalem going out to Bethany. After Bethany, then he returns in the morning. As Jesus returns, he passes by a fig tree, and he curses the fig tree. So then here, as he curses the fig tree, Peter is watching very closely. And as they return later, Peter sees the same fig tree dried up from the roots. And he knows that something abnormal has taken place. Because trees don't dry up from the roots after that fashion. Sap backs down from the top, and the root then is the last thing to yield up life. But this was different. Peter knew that something had happened to this tree. So let's read just a little bit here and see what Jesus was saying. In the 11th chapter and in the 22nd verse, and Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, I want you to notice tonight that Jesus emphasize the fact that we should not allow anything to stay in our heart that is unlike Christ. Now, I wonder if I could just slip my coat off just for a few minutes and get comfortable tonight while I talk with you. Now, I might be just a little bit countrified, but I was brought up out on the farm, and so you just have to bear with me. Now, I believe tonight what the Bible teaches. Whatever the Bible teaches, that's what I believe. I have come to the place in my life, and I know this sounds far-fetched to the human reasoning, but I have arrived at the place in my life and the decision in life that I refuse to believe anything that I hear, anything that I see, anything that I feel that is contrary to God's Word. It doesn't matter if I'm looking at it. If God's Word says no, I say no. Though my human intelligence tells me that it must be that way, I deny it and I say no. It is a lie and vanity. I do not believe it. I feel the same way about my hearing. I feel the same way about all of my human senses. God has endowed the human being with five senses. And these senses, I know, are relative to the world and the things of the world. And we relate to material matter by these senses. But I've learned one thing, that there is a power of faith that supersedes and that can ride above all human reasoning, all human diseases, all human problems, and bring to pass whatever God says in His Word. Can we tonight look at the darkness and believe it not? And can we say, let there be light, and there will be light? Tonight we are in deep darkness. As the people of God, gross darkness is covering the earth. Gross darkness is sweeping over the world. For the Bible said at the end time, gross darkness would cover the people. But He said in the evening time, it would come to pass that there would be light. Tonight, I believe that God is giving light. I believe that God is moving by Spirit. There is no doubt about the darkness being here. I can look all around me and see it. I can tell that the darkness is everywhere. Paul said to some people back there, that you're in darkness. And God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. And brother, tonight, what we need to do is to turn the people from darkness unto light. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean turn the people from darkness unto light? What do you mean turn the people from darkness unto light? What are you trying to say? Brother, when you're in your carnal reasoning, when you are in your carnal mind, when you do not reason with God, when you believe the things of this world instead of what God has said, you are in total darkness. You are walking in darkness, and you cannot tell where you are going because the God of this world has blinded your eyes, and you are in darkness even until now. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. Turn my people from their own human reasoning. Did you know the Bible teaches that we are not to lean to our own understanding? Now, listen to me tonight. We are not to lean to our own understanding. God tells me not to lean to my own understanding. It doesn't matter what I understand with my natural understanding. It doesn't matter what I think with my natural thinking. God said, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't think with your own natural thinking. He said, come to me and let us reason together. He said, take the word of God and let you and I reason things out. You say, but Brother Pike, if you can't believe what you see with your eyes, what are you going to do? God saw darkness, but He didn't accept the darkness. Isn't that right? Tonight you may see darkness, but you don't have to accept that darkness. If you believe what you see with your eyes, then you're going to walk in darkness. But brother, sister, if you believe what God said about it, you're going to walk in light. God has got light for you tonight. If you can believe what God said about it, you can have the light of God. If you believe what people say about it, there'll never be a revival in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Because people declare that nobody's going to have a revival in Jeffersonville, Indiana. But if you believe what God said about it, you'll be in the revival that's going to be in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. So then God didn't believe the darkness. God didn't believe the darkness. One time God sent a prophet, and a prophet said there's going to be a great revival through the land. And this great prophet rose up and he said there's going to be a great revival. And this man leaned over on the king's shoulder. Why? He said, I don't believe that. He said, but there's going to be. He said, but the people are on starvation. He said, there's no food anywhere. He said, but don't you know? Said the prophet said it was going to be like that. Come on now. You can lean to your own understanding. The king could have listened to his own understanding, or he could believe the word of God. There come the trial. There come the test. There come the trying time. And all of a sudden, the prophet said, thus saith the Lord. And he said, now, king, you can lean to your own understanding, or you can believe what God's got to say about it. And the people believed what the prophet had to say about it. And God gave a revival. And that unbeliever that leant over on the king's shoulder, that prophet said, you'll never have part in it. That's the way it is with some of you tonight. You'll never have any part in it because you don't believe it. You don't believe it. He leant over on the king's shoulder. He said, oh, said, if God made windows in heaven, said, might that thing be. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Bible said, try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I won't make some windows in heaven. I'm glad God said, I will make the windows in heaven if I have to do it. I feel like Billy Sunday of old when Billy Sunday said, before God will let me go hungry, he'll make the angels divide their bread with me. You know, that sounds like a big statement that Billy Sunday made. But did you know before God let the children of Israel go hungry, the Bible said they did eat angels' bread. And he rained down bread from heaven and they did eat angels' bread. That boy knew the Bible. He was talking about the word of God. That fellow that doubted over there, he didn't know the word of God. He said, if there was windows in heaven, might this thing be. But see, the Bible tells us that God will make windows in heaven. And God will pour us out a blessing that we'll not be able to receive. And so then he said, you're going to see this. He said, but you're not going to be partakers of it. And did you know the Bible said that the king appointed him as the man at the gate? He was there at the doorway. And about the time that everybody found out there was food, they came rushing and a running and a hollering and came driving in there like a herd of wild horses. And there he was right in the midst of the stampede. And did you know the Bible teaches that that man was literally trampled to death? God did not like his unbelief. And you know what, folks? When God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel, Moses sent people into Canaan. And did you know that there were some people that came back from Canaan that discouraged the hearts of God's people? Did you know God said, Moses, I'm going to have a revival over in Canaan? And some of the people come back and said, look, you can't do that. They said, well, why can't we do that? Said, well, them that's in power over there is too great. They got a bunch of giants over there. And we're like grasshoppers. Said, we can't do nothing like that in Canaan. But he said, we're going to do it anyway. So they discouraged the hearts of the people and they said, it can't be. Is there anything too hard for God? The angel said to Abraham there, when Sarah doubted under the tree of Mamre, Abraham, Sarah, is there anything too hard for God? So then, said, we're going to have a revival in Canaan. But they said, that's too hard for God. You can't do that. Said, the giants are too great. Moses said, you come back discouraging the hearts of God's people. And God was upset and God cut them off and they didn't go into Canaan. But praise God for one thing. He said, old brother Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Have you got enough victory tonight to say glory to God? said Caleb and Joshua, he said, you've got another spirit. These other folks come back discouraging the hearts of my people. He said, but these two boys, they believe. Are you believers tonight? Are you believers tonight? When we come into Jeff, they told us right straight. We said, we come here because the Lord sent us here. We humble our hearts. We were just as reverent, respectful as we know how. They said, no, not in Jeff. We said, but sir, we've done this all around the different parts of the United Nations. We've preached across the world. Over into the land of the midnight sun we've been, into Israel, down in South America, into Central America, into the island. They said, but we'll have you to know that you're in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and you don't do it here. I said, sir, there's one thing about it. We're going to do it here. God said, do it in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and we're here doing it tonight. A lot of giants around here, they call this the land of the red devils. But you know what? God went right down into the bellies of hell. Did you know that? And he was victorious. You love Jesus? You love Jesus? You know, over in the country where we come from, they call it the land of the bulldogs. Praise God, but we preach the gospel over there too. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the world do what they want to. But brother, we're going to preach the gospel. That's what you need to do tonight, children of God. You need to rise up and preach the gospel. Them that want to go with the world, let them go with the world. Them that want to go with God, let them go with God. Them that are out there with the world, they don't have but a few more days and the lake of fire is waiting. And the fire is kindled all under their feet tonight. And the end of the world is close by. But did you know tonight as I preached in my sermon concerning the virgins, did you know that the world is so intermingled with the church tonight that you cannot tell which is which anymore? You cannot tell what people believe in anymore. It is no wonder there is such a mix-up when a preacher comes to town. If you get people together, you can't tell what they believe anymore. You say, well, Brother Pike, now then you're on the spot. You tell us what you believe. I believe the Word of God. What do you believe? What do you believe? I believe the Word of God. That's what God sent into the world was the Word. I believe the Word of God. If you believe the Word of God, you're all right. If you don't believe the Word of God, you're all wrong. You say, well, Brother Pike, they don't believe that at my church. You need to change churches. If they don't believe that at your church, you need to change churches. If you can get in that church and change them and get them to believe the right thing, then you need to stay in that church. If you can get them to believe the Word of God, you need to stay there because people need your help. You don't need to be a coward and run off and leave them. But brother, if they're going to bind together and not believe the Word of God, you need to get out of that church and find God's Word somewhere. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe God's Word. If I can go to a church and believe God's Word, I'm going to go to the church and believe God's Word. Amen. Did you know I find Baptist people that believe God's Word? Did you know I find Methodist people that believe God's Word? Did you know I find Catholic people that believe God's Word? And I find Pentecostal people that believe God's Word. And here's something shocking to you. I find Baptists that don't. I find Methodists that don't. I find Catholics that don't. I find Pentecostals that don't. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Brother, I know Catholic people that's full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And some of them speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Hallelujah. I know some of them that believes in the gifts of healings and the gifts of God's great deliverance. I know some of them that believes in all-time Holy Ghost living. Living free and clean from the things of the world. I know some Methodist people and Baptist people and some Pentecostal people like that. But I know some that don't. I know some that don't. But I'll tell you tonight, if you've got God's Word, if you've got God's Spirit, if you'll come together in God's Word, if you'll make a separation, my brother, God will do something. You know, when God said, let there be light, the Bible said there was light. And the Bible says that God placed a firmament in the midst of the waters. Isn't that right? And the Bible said that God divided the waters from the waters. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad tonight that God divided the waters from the waters? Ain't you glad tonight that you're separated from troubled waters tonight? David said, God leadeth me beside the still waters. And you know the Bible, when he speaks of waters, it speaks of people. Isn't that right? And tonight we're God's still waters tonight. Hallelujah. And so then that firmament, he placed Calvary there. And the Bible said it divided the waters that was above the firmament from the waters that was below the firmament. And Calvary stands there between heaven and earth tonight. And the Bible said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Lucifer or Satan is among ye. But he said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. How many of you dwell in heaven tonight? Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe we're in heaven? Let's look at it for just a minute and see where we're at. You know, a lot of people lost. They don't even know where they're at. Let's see where we're at tonight. He said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Isn't that right? So he said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? How do you know the Bible said we're made to sit together in heavenly places? Somebody said, Brother Pike, but that's heavenly places. Could you tell me where California places is tonight? How do you know where California places is? Somebody tell me where Indiana places is tonight. Did you know tonight we're sitting together in Indiana places? But have you ever got together in heavenly places? Brother, the Bible said God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Come on now. You know why I'm in Indiana places tonight? Praise God, I took a trip to Indiana. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, if you ever take a trip to heaven, you're going to be in heavenly places. Try it sometime and see if I'm telling you right. See, the Bible tells us, God said, you're not of this world. You're not of this world. Come on now. Where are we at then? I have chosen you out of this world. Oh, now somebody said, but Brother Pike, that's a figure of speech. And what God is saying is he just separated us from the others. That wasn't what he was saying at all. You didn't read far enough. I have chosen you out of this world. But he also made the statement, I have hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Where is Christ tonight? Tell me, where is Christ tonight? Brother, that's where I'm at tonight. Oh, somebody says, now, Brother Pike, you're being fanatic. You don't mean to tell me that you're over here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and you're up in heaven. Praise God, you didn't know what kind of places you had in Indiana, did you? Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. You know, Jesus one time talking to a carnal-minded man over there, he was talking to Nicodemus. There while he talked to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was asking him some questions. And he said, now look, he said, are you a master of Israel? And you don't understand all these things? You know, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. Isn't that right? He said, are you a master of Israel and you know not these things? Now he said, look at here, Nicodemus. He said, there's no one that ever went up into heaven. Are you listening? Except the Son of Man. Except the Son of God. Now here he was, folks, standing on the earth. He said, I am the man, Christ Jesus. No man has ever ascended up into heaven. He said, Nicodemus, except the Son of Man. There he was talking. Ain't nobody ever been up there, he said, except me, Nicodemus. Are you listening now? Don't you know that shook Nicodemus up? He said, now look, Nicodemus, are you a master of Israel? You're not preaching this kind of preaching? What's your sermon? Folks, what are we preaching? Are you a master of Israel? You're not preaching this? Is that right? For he said, the Son of Man ascended up into heaven. No one has ever been there but him. And he said, the Son of Man that came down from heaven. And then he waxed bold, looking at Nicodemus. He said, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Come on, folks. Nicodemus stood and looked at Jesus. Jesus stood on this earth and declared he was still in heaven. Still in the presence of God. You know where the mistake is? Everybody says, I'm going up there. I'm going up there. I'm getting ready to go up there. But the book of Revelation says, New Jerusalem's coming down here. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. The Bible said God made the earth to be inhabited. Isn't that right? Praise God. Let me tell you something, children of God. You are farther along down the trail than you could ever imagine. Hallelujah. I wished I could preach tonight. I wished I could just preach tonight. But you know what? Even the little things that I say, just the little things that I say, will cause me to lose some of my congregation, just the little things. Oh, but brother, sister, do you realize tonight that he said, I have chosen you out of this world? I have chosen you out of this world. Where am I if he has chosen me out of this world? I am hid with Christ in God. Who is God? John 4:24 says he's a spirit. I am hid in the spirit. Where is Christ? In the spirit. Praise God. Now hold on for just a minute. Give me just a minute to preach a little tonight anyway. Hallelujah. You know, it's like Moses and Elijah. Somebody say, well, Brother Pine, now look at Moses. That feller died over there and they buried him. You know, Ruth come out of the land of Moab and Moses was buried down there. Supposed to be buried down there in the valley where Ruth come from. Isn't that right? But I don't believe he's over there, do you? I don't believe he's over there. I told a Bible scholar that one time over in the Carolina. And boy, I tell you, for a little bit, as the old saying goes, he liked to blow the fuse. Because he was an aged man and a great Bible scholar. But being a man of integrity, he went home and began to search. And he come back and he said, glory to God. He said, you're right about that thing. He was really upset. I said, why haven't they found his grave? I said, don't you remember what the writer said? There was a New Testament preacher. He had a vision. And the Bible said he saw Lucifer, Satan, the angel of death. He saw the great angel of God disputing with him. Come on now. Over the body of Moses. I said he was disputing over the body of Moses. Now, folks, he wasn't disputing over the spirit of Moses. He wasn't disputing over the spirit of Moses. There was nothing wrong with the spirit of Moses. But here the body of Moses had been up on that mountain, Mount Sinai, for 40 days and nights without food or water. Turned around and went back 40 more days and nights without food or water. Don't you think he had done got over the boundaries? When he come back down, they said, wait a minute. Oh, brother, you better put a veil over your face. We can't look at that Shekinah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Brother Stephen, when they stoned him to death, they said his face shone like an angel. Hallelujah. The Bible said wisdom maketh a man's face to shine. Isn't that right? Jesus veiled the Shekinah glory of God. You know, there's a message we preach on the covering of his glory. I hope one night we can preach a little of it. Hallelujah. To show what really happened to mankind. What really happened to mankind. Oh, hallelujah. But did you know that Moses there on that mountain, he came down. And they said they buried him. But did you notice it said concerning old brother Elijah? It said that the chariot of fire came down and the whirlwind. And all of a sudden he went away. Is that right? Now you wouldn't disagree with that, now would you? The Bible said that's what happened to him. Where did he go?
The same place Moses went.
Now you Bible scholars know that's right. You say, Brother Pike, you can't prove it.
Yes, I can.
Because the Bible said when Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus appeared in his body, not in his spirit, but his body, friend. Elijah appeared in his body. And Moses appeared in his body. Because the Bible said they disputed over the body. They appeared, three bodies, human bodies, stood. Where were they? In glory. In glory. You say, how did they do that? How did they do that? Like a great Bible scholar said one time, he said, Enoch and Elijah or Moses, he spoke of those men having to come back and die. Look, folks, do you really believe that Enoch's going to come back and die? Somebody said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment said he's got to come back and die. Do you really believe that? You know that Enoch ain't got to come back here and die. Don't you know that if Enoch come back here and die, the scriptures would be broken? Don't you know the Bible said when Paul and him was preaching over there, said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death? If he comes back here and sees death, the scripture's broken. He was the seventh from Adam, which was a type of the church. How could he come back and die? He never was under the law to start with. The penalty of death is under the law. That's why Moses and Elijah come back in the tribulation. They went out under the law. That's why them bodies is preserved over there to come back. That's why they're laying that straight. But let me tell you something. Old brother Enoch wasn't under the law. You say, Brother Pike, what's that got to do with us? I want you to know tonight, I'm not under the law. Hallelujah. That's why Paul was preaching the way he was preaching. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we're going to catch on to what Brother Enoch caught on to. We're going to catch on to what Brother Enoch caught on to. You say, what are we going to catch on to, preacher? We're going to catch on to the fact that death has been conquered, that we're no longer under the law, but we're under the grace of Christ Jesus. And that by faith, God's translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Where are we tonight? Somebody says, I'm waiting for the rapture. I'm waiting for the rapture. That's fine. But did you know there's no such word in the Bible? There ain't no such teachings in the Bible. The word rapture is good, just like the word millennium. Comes from your alphabets, your Roman alphabets, meaning a thousand. Take your letter M. The same way with rapture. But brother, the Bible said we're translated from glory to glory. Is that right? We're translated from glory to glory. And the Bible teaches that we are looking into that word of God and into the grace of God. And that we are changed from glory to glory as we behold the light of the glory of his unveiled face. We are moving into the light of the glory of God's face. And brother, we are being translated tonight into the marvelous kingdom of our God. You say, Brother Pike, what are you going to do with Thessalonians? The Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall be changed from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible. And then when this mortal has put on immortality, we then will be brought to pass. Oh, death, where is thy sting and grave? Where is thy victory? But my brother, you don't know how far down the trail you are tonight. Many of you don't understand tonight. But I tell you, it's a glorious thing that Jesus done when he died at Calvary. Oh, what a wonderful thing God has done for the church. What am I doing in Jeffersonville, Indiana tonight? Am I here just having another tent revival? Oh, no, my brother. God, bear me record tonight. My hand be raised to the one that put the breath in my nostrils. I'm not just here to have a tent meeting tonight. There'd have been a lot of places I'd have went outside of Indiana, Jeffersonville. Oh, but God said, come to Jeffersonville, Indiana, because the people of Jeffersonville, Indiana, bear a great significance in the plan of Almighty God. Now let me say this and try to understand what I'm saying. God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, God doesn't do that. Where did you ever read that in the Bible? You don't have any Bible to tell me that God doesn't do that. Paul said, you pray. Church, you pray. He certainly couldn't have been talking to a sinner. He said, church, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That's what Paul said to you. And Paul was your apostle. He was a Gentile apostle. He said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother, sister, I had fasted, I had prayed, I'd done everything that a preacher could do, that I knew to do. I had prayed and I'd cried, I'd traveled, I'd preached, but I did not know there was such a thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I did not know. All I'd ever known was what the Bible said. Did you know that until God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ, it had never even dawned on me and did not dawn on me until years later that in the book of John, that it starts off and it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto John. And then I found out that Paul had the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here in the end time that the church is supposed to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I said, my God. And folks, did you know that God, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, showed me the conquering of death? Brother, sister, he showed me how that it was done. He showed me what medical science don't know and can't find out. Oh, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. Oh, it's the truth. I'm not lying. I'm not just saying something. I didn't have to say that to get your attention. I already had your attention. I stand more chance to lose your attention by saying it because of people that are skeptic. My brother, sister, he showed me what medical science don't know and can't find out and won't find out. But I praise God that I found it out. It was revealed to me from heaven. When I heard him say it is above all that men can think or ask. But God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit, unto babes such as would learn. That's where you're at tonight, church. You've got something. Why you dabble around in the world, I'll never know. With this great and mighty thing that God has given to the children of God. It is so magnificent and so beautiful. That when Paul looked at it, he called the things of the world. He said, would you again be under bondage to the beggarly elements of this world? The beggarly elements of this world. I want you to know I appreciate a fine automobile. God gave men the intelligence to build it. I appreciate nice big buildings and cathedrals. We've got a beautiful cathedral at home. Seat hundreds of people. And I think it should be beautiful because it's for God. God made all things beautiful in his time. We like for our tent to be nice. And I think people should look nice, just as nice as they can. And I appreciate the land being beautiful and the gardens and people that have a mind to work. I appreciate people that are industrious, that wants to do something. And I appreciate the medical profession that help people with their medical efforts. I don't appreciate the corruption that's in medicine. I don't appreciate the abaseness that they've stooped to in their activities. I appreciate everything that we've got according to the biblical standards and way of life that God set it to be. But brother and sister, there's one thing that I want you to know tonight. Aside from that, when it's compared to the things of God, it is but beggarly elements that must pass away. There is a kingdom of God, and there is a power of God, and there is a greatness of God that is wanting to transform this earth into its radiance and its beauty as it was in the garden. Did you know that God made this earth to be beautiful? God made this earth to be without a curse, precious friend. God made this to be a garden. Did you know that? It should be beautiful tonight. You shouldn't see cattle roaming out there with diseases. You shouldn't see people with diseases. You shouldn't see people getting old and decrepit. You shouldn't see folks here running around that's dying with diseases and having afflictions that they cannot get rid of. God didn't intend that. You know what caused that? Sin caused it. Sin causes death. Sin causes sickness. Sin causes sorrow. Sin gives place to devils and demons. Oh, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you remember that man over there when God healed that person and healed that woman? He said that the sin did not cause this, neither did their parents. Jesus said their parents didn't, neither did they. But the Bible said God is the God that visits the iniquity of the fathers down upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Can you look back as far as Adam and Eve and say that sin didn't cause her to be like that? Can you look back as far as Adam and Eve and say that sin didn't cause him to be like that? Can you look back beyond Adam and Eve and see anybody was like that before they sinned? Brother, it all came from sin. All of it came from sin, every bit of it. But God died that we might be healthy, that we might be whole. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, he said, have faith in God, children. Have faith in God. He said, I don't care what you ask as long as it's within line of godly reasoning, within line of the Bible. And you've got a lot of things you can ask for. He said, if it's within line of the Bible, I'll do it. Is that right? Ask anything in my name. He said, I'll do it. Whatever you ask, I'll do it. Jesus said that. Isn't that right? Why isn't it that we're receiving those things? We are not moving into the place that God ordained for us to be. Oh, listen to me tonight. I may lose some of my congregation when I say this. I lost a few last night. But I want you to know that you that are sons and daughters of God, you are God's. Can you hear me tonight? You are more than men and women. You are God's. Jesus said you're God's. What is a God? Can you tell me tonight what a God is? A God is somebody that can't die. Is that right? A God is somebody that can't die. Let me prove something to you here just for a minute. A God is something that can't die. I want to say this again. I lost a few people last night. I guess I'll lose some more tonight. Maybe not. Did you know they stoned Jesus? They wanted to stone Jesus. And Jesus said, why do you want to stone me? What have I done to cause you to feel like that by me? You know, he wanted love and fellowship just like anybody else. He was a man just like you, a man or a human being. He wanted love just like you want love. Isn't that right? He said, why do you want to do me like this? Why does everybody want to jump on me and forsake me and run off and leave me? That was the attitude. Yet he knew down in his heart why. He knew down in his heart why. He knew what he came for. But he just wanted to ask that question just for their sake. What, for what good work do you stone me? And they said, for a good work we don't stone you. Said, what have I done? Who have I healed? Have I raised the dead? Have I healed somebody? Is this why you want to stone me? They said, all that we're pleased with. Said, but you being a man, you make yourself God. Now folks, let me tell you something. When you people begin to realize who you are, there's going to be a whole lot of people that want to break fellowship with you. Going to be a whole lot of people that want to break fellowship with you. Now listen, I'm talking about a whole lot of religious people. Them Pharisees and scribes said, wait a minute, we fast and we pray. We pay tithes, we go to church, we build temples. While we're God's right-hand people. While we're the church of the earth. Jesus said, nevertheless, you want to stone me because I say I'm the Son of God. And I ask you this question. He said, is it not written in the scriptures that I have called ye gods? Why did God call ye gods? Does God lie? Does God have to lie? Is God a man that he hath to repent? Does God tell lies? Does God just make vain statements? Did Jesus Christ call ye gods just to have something to say? He said, is it not written in the scripture, in the old scripture? And here he confirms it in the New Testament. Is it not written in the scripture that I have called ye gods? If ye unto whom the word of God hath come, our gods, or have been called gods. Why do you say I blaspheme? Because I say I'm the Son of God. I say this again. Now I just say this in a simple like way to where we, people like me that are simple in mind, can understand it.
Does a dog beget dogs? Does a cat beget cats? When an elephant brings forth its young, is it an elephant? When God gives birth to his sons and daughters, are they gods? Does a God beget gods? Why did he say that you're God? Somebody said, but that was Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus was God? Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Do you believe that he was God? The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and God was made flesh. The Bible said you're bone of his bone, you're flesh of his flesh. Tonight you're bone of his bone, you're flesh of his flesh. You're the body of Jesus Christ tonight. He's the head of the church. And we're his members tonight. Paul said this is the great mystery concerning a man and a woman. The man is the head and the woman is the members. The man is the head and the woman is the members. Jesus is the head and the church, which is the woman, is the members. Is that right? He's the head. Folks, God has made you gods tonight. You know why? Because gods can't die. That's what a God is. A God can't die. Confucius was with the generation past. Confucius is with this generation. If there's another generation, Confucius will be with them when there ain't no God such as Confucius. But they uphold him and make him a God. But our true and living God, he lives on and on. You're gods because you cannot die. You say, but Brother Pike, all men have to die. You say, Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man wants to die. Everybody has to die. But the Bible said Enoch was translated that he should not die. Is God then respect a person? Oh no, my friend. Oh no, what God done for one, he'll do for others. What God done for Enoch, he'll do for you. For the Bible said that God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And that we have passed from death unto life. And we shall never come into condemnation. Are you listening? I know I'm being just a little lengthy tonight, but I want you to listen. We have passed from death unto life. We have passed from death unto life. Is this right? We're never going to come into condemnation. We have passed from death unto life. Have we passed from death unto life? Or again, I ask you the question, does God just make vain statements? Or have we really passed from death unto life? You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you don't think we're going to die? Now listen just a minute. I don't have time to go into it tonight. But tomorrow night, if God will help me and if you'll be a good listener and come back, I'll prove to you some things if you don't already know. And if you already know, God bless you. You come back and have faith and strengthen me to prove it to somebody else. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, you're farther down the trail than you think you are. A whole lot closer home than you think you are. And I'll tell you something, the translation is a whole lot different from what you think it is. And it's a whole lot closer than what you think. And the rapture is a whole lot nearer by than you think it is. And our God is a whole lot closer by. And things is a whole lot closer to happening than you think it is. I'm going to try to close out here because I could just go on and go on and go on because your hearts and minds are open and you're receiving and you're a good recipient. But I know that the body will grow weary. I know it will. And I just want to make a few natural statements here. Tonight, this trouble in Iran. You know why I believe there's trouble in Iran? I sent that man a registered letter. It cost me a lot of money to get him a letter. When he took those hostages, I was praying over the night. And God spoke to me and told me to tell him. He said, I'll plow your fields and I'll tear down your cities if you harm those hostages, if you don't turn those hostages loose. I wrote him a letter. I told him. He didn't turn them loose. I prayed to God and kept praying to God, and others prayed to God. And he turned one or two loose, but he kept the others. In just about time that he thought he was going to turn them loose, I'm sure that he was getting ready to turn them loose because I told my brethren that that's what he was going to do in the near future. According to the revelation, I spotted it had to do with this meeting. And sure enough, the radios are carrying it. But I said, just about the time he gets ready to do it, God's going to intervene. And right now they're closing in on him to burn his fields and to make him pay for his wretchedness. You say, but Brother Pike, you don't know how wretched those people were. They might have been wretched. I don't know. They might have been spies. I don't know about that. They might have done wrong. I don't know about that. And maybe they deserved to pay for whatever they'd done. I don't know about that. But there was a whole lot better ways to do it than the way he done it. That's the way I feel about it. Now, so then God is closing in on him. Brother, let me tell you something. If we believe in God, God will intervene in international affairs. I said here the other night, you might not be acquainted with it, but Senator Talmadge, the Senator of Georgia, the highest paid senator in Senate, when they closed in on him, God spoke to me just before they did and said, I'm going to magnify Senator Talmadge. All of a sudden, they closed in on him, and they began to press the life out of him. When they closed in on him, God spoke to me, said, write him a letter. Tell him that everything will be clear, that I'll bring him through everything that they do and everything that they throw at him. And at the end of the way, he'll come out and they won't be able to pin nothing on him. That he'll be clean and clear. I told him. He wrote me back a letter and said, Brother Pike, said, you don't know how much this means to me to know that somebody would stand with me in a crisis like this. I said, sir, I want you to know one thing. God said it's because you have forsaken him. You've gone your own way and you've done your own thing in Senate and you haven't obeyed God. And he's going to bring you through this thing. But from now on, you better remember God. And I want you to know in his following speeches, you can read it in the paper, he remembered God. And when he come out of it, it took about 3 years later. But when he come out, he wrote me a letter, said, Brother Pike, it's as clear as a bell. Said they couldn't prove nothing. You love Jesus? Why is that? Because God loves you and God loves me. The Lord has spoke to us many times concerning international affairs and concerning local affairs. And we're in Jeffersonville, Indiana tonight because God spoke to me about Jeffersonville, Indiana, what he'd had to do within his plan and in his spiritual understanding and where you people are standing tonight. He spoke to me about the local churches and the different ones. There's a great tabernacle here, a William Branham tabernacle. Perhaps one of the greatest men that ever lived from all that we know. Perhaps you're acquainted with him personally. The Lord spoke to me when I was in Florida. In the early part of 65, I believe it was. And he said, the man is fixing to pass off of the scene. I'm fixing to take him off of the scene. I told some of them, as a matter of fact, Brother Parnell is here tonight. He was there in Jefferson. He was there in Florida. Passed in a church, I went over and told Brother Parnell. That was the early part of 65. He died. He was killed in the latter part of 65. One of the greatest men that ever lived. They called me when he had a wreck. I was fasting and seeking God for the man. And I said, God help the man because I knew he'd be in a lot of pain. He'd been one of the greatest figures in the earth, done some of the greatest things. His death was perfect in revelation. It could not have been more perfect. A lot of people were bewildered and torpid and didn't understand it. They thought God had closed in on him, but it was the most perfect thing that ever happened. It was just exactly the way God ordained it to fulfill what he was doing with the man. But when they called me up and they told me, Brother Allen from the Carolinas said, Brother Branham's had a wreck. I said, well, brother, he'll die. I said, the wife and the daughter will be spared. The wife for the children's sake. It came to pass, I said, just before Christmas Day, the Lord will call him. He did. Now, I said that to say this, to let you know that we're not just saying things when we say that we understand what's going on in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And we came to Jeffersonville, Indiana by the leading of the Lord to be here for a certain thing and a certain purpose. We are here because God has sent us here. We withstood the city officials when we were denied our privileges. Not because we want to interrupt mankind, because the Bible said obey magistrates, dignitaries, law and order and all these things. But it was when the laws of the land encroached upon the rights of God. When they pressed upon Daniel, that Daniel stood for his rights. Though he was a great leader among the dignitaries of that day. The Hebrew children were great leaders among the dignitaries of that day. But they had to stand for their rights. Folks, the hour is here. when you're going to stand for your rights. And I'll tell you something, and you take it from me. You've got a lot of good city officials here. You've got a lot of good policemen here. But you've got some rotten corruption that's got itself interwoven with your people. Solomon said, I looked, and in the place of judgment there's corruption. And you got some corruption in there. And you got some corruption in the White House. You got some corruption there. I was there not too long ago when about 600,000 estimated met right there at Washington. About 600,000 people on the square. 600,000 people. They estimated 600,000 people, the last estimation. They met there to worship God. There's some good people there, but there's some corruption there too. It's up to you and I to stand. The Bible said Satan will wear out the saints of God with his ritualistics, his programs, his precious. But then the saints shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And you say, well, Brother Pike, we believe that we've got the kingdom of God. We have, because it's on the inside of us. But brother and sister, that wasn't all he said. He said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. And he shall reign forever and ever. He is the King of Kings. He's going to take over the kingdoms of this world as well as the kingdom of heaven. That's why Herod got upset. Now, so then you need to stand for God and you need to stand with the right people. I had a couple of officers that came out here after service last night that talked with me. Back here, some of the finest fellows I ever met in my life. I was praying for them today. Some of your law officers. Some of the finest men. I've never seen men with greater integrity. Fine men. A credit to your city. Law officers. You know, that's what you need everywhere. They said, Brother Pike, we hope you'll do a good job while you're here. Don't you hope I'll do a good job too? Praise God, your law officers wanted that. Surely you want it. So then, folks, we're here because God sent us here. And as the half hasn't been told, I wish we could just tell you tonight. I wish we could, but I know the body grows weary and we think we've been in service a long time. You know, Paul preached all night long and was just getting started. But we were trained to ritualistics and we think we've been in service a long time. We find we just got to get out, so pressed in the day we're living in. Darkness down in Egypt, so thick you could feel it. It's getting to where you can feel it on your nerve system. It's getting so bad. But I want you to stand with me, beloved friend. Just stand with me for just a moment, please. You know, because God has been good to me or someone else, it doesn't make me anything. I'm no more than anybody else. I'm the least of all, less than nothing. But there's one thing I do believe, and that is what God said. I believe what God said about it. If he said it, then Christian friend, I believe it. And I trust tonight that you believe it too, and that we can do something for God while we're here in this area, because that's what we want to do. You know, it's hard to believe these things when we see them and when we hear them, but it's hard to believe some of the things that we hear and see in the world too. When you see the corruptible things that's happening around us, it's kind of hard for me to believe that in those great places that those things would take place. Isn't that right? But it's happening. You know, when the Lord spoke to me, and maybe some of you are followers of this man that I'm about to speak of, but when the Lord spoke to me about Armstrong, the great man that's on the radio you hear around the nation, everywhere you go, the Lord spoke to me and said, the man's going to fall. The church is just going to go to havoc. They had never had a church split in the history of their church. Never before. Many years, one of the most powerful money systems in the world and church. Overseas and everywhere. We told our brethren, some of them here will vouch for it. Told them it was fixing to happen within just a matter of weeks. They found out the man had committed whoredom or charged him with whoredom. And it tore the church all to pieces. The next thing, his dad had married a real young girl, him being a terrifically aged man. And him and his son was all split up. And then their greatest leader turned against them and was all split up. And the church split up. And everything went to havoc. And they had to sell some of their great colleges. And as a matter of fact, one of the brothers down in Corpus Christi, Texas, that was having problems there, he bought one of the colleges as far as I know. Things is happening, folks. Things is happening. And we need to get in on it because time is drawing to a close. I want you to close your eyes with me, if you please. Just close your eyes for just a few moments. And let's talk about Jesus or talk to Jesus. And let's pray for just a few minutes. I love you tonight. I know some of you comes to be prayed for. Some of you comes to be healed. And I want to pray for you because I sincerely believe that God will heal you. We've got men here that believe God. We've got ministers here, not just me. I'm less than any of them. We've got ministers here that have been known to fast and pray for numbers of days. We got people that are here or that will be here during this meeting. Women, some of them have fasted for long periods of times. Women, mind you, that love God, that's fasted and prayed. Dedicated people that love God, that love you, that are concerned. And I believe tonight that if we will just follow Jesus and follow the Spirit, that He'll do something here in our little town of Jeffersonville and in Louisville. It's such a precious place. Such wonderful people that we've met. Even in places of business that we've been, we've met some wonderful people. And it's just a privilege to be here. It's just a privilege. And I want to say again, while your heads are bowed, you should not think evil of your city officials, because your city officials has not tried to be arrogant nor ugly with us. And we're not here to set your hearts against your city ordinances. There's some very fine gentlemen. There was only one person that really opposed. If others did it, they did it secretly. But one power of authority. And they said that he bowed out gracefully. And I trust that he did. I do not know him. I trust that he did. We're not trying to make a spectacle out of him. I just trust that he did for his sake, because we don't wish ill favor toward anybody. And we certainly don't wish to cause riots and problems and divisions, because we're laborers together. We love you. We're to love one another. We're to obey magistrates and ordinances. But folks, we do need to stand up for what's right. We need to stand up as a body of people for what's right, to stop the infiltration of corruption, or else we'll be prisoners and be in bondage, and we won't be allowed to worship our God and to carry on our work for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So then, let's believe God and let's love God. And as we pray tonight together, I trust that you'll just believe with me as we pray together. Will you close your eyes now? It's all right. Just close your eyes. Now the cameraman's moving around taking pictures. It's all right. He's reverent in what he's doing. It's perfectly all right. We're going to worship God and love the Lord. I appreciate his reverence. Let's just love Jesus now. Lift your hands up with me, will you, precious people? Will you lift your hands up? You're very precious in the sight of God tonight. He spilt his blood for you. He said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. Your hands are holy tonight, for the Bible said God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and he hath sanctified once and for all them, that is the church, or you, by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath sanctified you forever by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just worship him tonight. Can we do that? Father of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I love you tonight and I praise you tonight. And oh, great and mighty God, by your Spirit tonight, I pray that you'll move. And dear God, as these people stand here with hands lifted up, Lord, if there be anyone here that's lost and undone without Jesus, I pray tonight, Father, that they will consider the cause of Christ, and they'll consider the nearness of the coming of the Lord, and Father, that they will give their hearts to Jesus tonight. And oh Lord, as they stand with lifted up hands, be kind to them tonight. I ask you to do it for your sake, Jesus. I ask you to do it for your sake. While hands are lifted up tonight, I ask you tonight, if you need Jesus tonight, if you haven't accepted Christ tonight, young and old alike, I ask you tonight, would you consider Jesus? Now that you've got your hands lifted up, would you consider Jesus? And would you be bold enough to step out tonight and say, Lord, I believe in the truth, and I want to be numbered with the truth. And Father, I know that you're going to return to this world, and I know that you've created the earth, the people, and all things therein for your own glory. For the Bible said all things were made by him, and for his own glory were they made. And so then, I'd like to be with you. I'd like to consider your way, and I'd like to be part of your kingdom. Would you do that tonight? As I speak with you tonight, would you step out? If you need something from God tonight, would you step out and come down to the altar tonight? Would you do that? Would you do that tonight? If you'd like to have our prayers tonight, would you step out here tonight? If anybody needs salvation, if anybody's bound with evil spirits, if anybody's oppressed by demon powers, you know, we're living in the day where there's demon oppression. Great demon oppression. And did you know that one touch of the master's hand, did you know that the minister can lay hands on you one time? And did you know that it can break the demon oppression? Did you know it can break the demon power? Did you know that one touch of the minister's hand can break the yoke? Did you know the anointing will break the yoke? And that the Holy Ghost is given by the laying on of hands and bring the blessing of God into your life. Did you know that one touch of the minister's hand can bring healing to you? That you may need healing and may need deliverance. And that one touch of his hand can bring healing and deliverance to you. Did you know that? Now you might say, well, Brother Pike, I don't need him to do that. I can believe for myself. So much the better, my friend. If you can believe for yourself, God bless you. I'm for you and I'm praying with you. But you that may have a little trouble, and you may have a little problem, and you may be a little weak at times like I am, and you may need somebody to stand in the gap sometimes for you and need a little strength, then I ask you tonight to give God a chance. And if you'd like for us to pray with you, you come down and we'll pray with you tonight. We'll pray with you tonight. From night to night in these services, we're going to be praying for the sick. We're going to be asking God to heal. And we're going to be asking God to save. You know, it's not just when I come here that I ask God to heal. And it's not when I come here that I ask God to save. Before I come here, I'm talking with God. Closed away in my room, at times I'm speaking with Jesus. At night, at times I'm speaking with Jesus. And I'm asking God to bless my congregation before I ever come here. And I'm asking God to heal the people before I ever come here. And I'm asking God to minister to the people before I ever get to service. And after I leave service, I'm still asking God to minister to the people and to save the people and to heal the people. We're out in the highways and we're out in the hedges. That's why we set the tent. That out in the highways and out in the hedges, everybody can have a chance to come. And I said last night, there is many people, they cannot come to church. There's something that binds them. There's something that hinders them. There's something that oppresses them. Until they cannot come, they say, I just can't come. But a lot of times, beloved friend, when you set a tent meeting, they'll come to a tent meeting. And here we are tonight in a tent meeting. So I want you to come. I feel the great Holy Spirit right now. I feel him. He's beginning to move over the audience. I feel him right now. I feel the anointing. You know, the Bible said as Peter spoke to them that the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling right now.
I feel the Holy Ghost falling right now. I feel the Holy Ghost falling right now. I feel the Holy Ghost falling right now. I can feel Him falling on you folks right now. As He spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And I can feel the Holy Ghost falling right now. It's so wonderful to feel the Holy Ghost as He falls upon the people. How wonderful, how magnificent to be in the presence of the great Holy Ghost. Think what it would be like, beloved friend, if the great Holy Spirit lifted from the earth and never again would come down to the earth. Think how awful that would be. I had a vision not too long ago, and in this great vision, I looked and I saw the great Holy Spirit lift from the earth. And I saw everything turn into powder. The entire earth withered up. All of the grass, everything withered away. And everything turned into powder and became very dry. And the waters of heaven was held back. And the great Spirit was taken away. And I heard a voice. And the voice said, "It is too late. Too late." And I was made to know as the voice spoke out in my heart. I heard it say, "It is too late. Now it is too late to preach. It is too late to write a book. It is too late to tell the people. It is too late, forever too late." And I was so tore up. I thought about Daniel that saw the vision. He said he was sick for many days. Honestly, before God, my hand be raised to heaven. I was so tore up. I felt sick on the inside. I was so tore up until for many days I didn't even as much as breathe it to my companion. I was just tore all to pieces. And many days after, I told it to my companion and then told it to the church. But folks, it's growing late. Did you know that? Spiritually speaking, it's growing late. We need to do something. We need to do something
for you.
Hallelujah. Don't you want to be prayed for tonight?
For
those who want me to lay hands on them tonight, I want you to come up on the ramp tonight. If you want me to lay hands on you, I want you to come up on the ramp tonight. And I'm going to lay hands on you. Others that would love to come by here, we'll pray for you if you come and stand here. But the others, I want to come up on the ramp. I want to pray for you tonight.
For you.
Can I get just a little water?
There's room at the cross.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, my son. Now, you that are here with us tonight, I want to say again that we love you and appreciate you.
There is still room.
They said last night that we had about 100 people outside in the cars.
At the cross,
I want them to know that come up outside in the cars that we appreciate you. I'd like for you to come under the tent. We really don't have any more chairs under the tent. They left the chairs at home. It's a very unusual thing. We've never done that before. But we may have to rent some chairs. We made arrangements before we come to get another lot of chairs in case we needed them anyway. And they are available to us. So then, they will probably get more chairs and have chairs out here for you. But those that have come and stood, we appreciate you. And I want you to work with us in this meeting and let's love Jesus. And let's just see what God will do for Jeffersonville, Indiana. I'm willing to pray. If you're willing to pray, I'm willing to pray. The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Bible teaches that God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and He has sanctified us by the offering up of His Son. So then surely He hath made us to where we can pray. Let's just pray and ask God to do something. Can we do that now? Let's just lift our hands up and pray for these people. I don't know what their need is tonight, but God does. Maybe He'll reveal it, maybe He'll tell it. But if not, we're going to pray for them anyway. Maybe God will reveal it in your heart. Maybe God will tell me what's wrong with you or reveal a need in your heart. If you pray and believe, God can do that. There's nothing too hard for God. God's interested in you. If you dare to believe, God dares to speak. So all you got to do is believe. Mark 11:22 said, if you believe anything, If you ask it, if you don't doubt in your heart, he said, I'll do it. If you don't doubt in your heart, I'll do it. He said, if you ask anything in my name and you don't doubt, I'll do it. He said, if you say what you will and you don't doubt in your heart. See, you can believe in your head, but that won't do it. You've got to believe in your heart. The Bible said, hereby we convince our heart. We must do the things that please Him, then we convince our heart. And then when we believe in our heart and we don't doubt in our heart, He said, just say whatever you want to. I'll do it. That'll take care of it. So tonight, decree a thing in your heart. It'll come to pass. If there's something that you're wanting, something that you're desiring, He said, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. So decree a thing in your heart tonight. Whatever you want tonight, whatever you've been desiring tonight, I want you to ask God for it. Let me pray with you tonight. I get some of the most beautiful letters from our TV programs across the nation, and from our radio programs, and from Harvest to Herald that goes around the different parts of the nation. I get some beautiful letters. We received a letter not too long ago of somebody that wanted a home, and they wrote us a letter, and they said, we want a home. Said, but it's impossible. There's no way that we can buy it. We don't have the money. We don't have the credit. But we're asking you to pray that God will grant it. We prayed, and within about a week or two, they wrote back and said, Brother Pike, glory to God, we got our beautiful little home. And said, we know that God did it. So then let's pray and believe tonight. God will do whatever you want Him to do. All you have to do is pray and believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this little one tonight. May the great spirit of your loving Son be here tonight. And oh God, heal tonight. As I feel the anointing of the great Holy Spirit. Oh God. Heal tonight in the name of Jesus, my Father. Heal in the name of your lovely, darling Son tonight. In Jesus' name, make well. Father, touch this brother tonight. In the name of Jesus, may your Spirit anoint him, God. And I feel his faith right now, oh God. I feel the faith of Christ in this heart. Heal tonight. May your Spirit come down. And may he be healed tonight. Healed in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, to heal this boy tonight. May your Spirit be upon him. May every yoke be broken tonight. May the power of God be here. Lord, stretch out your healing hand tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus that whatever the heart is desiring tonight, whatever the body needs tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would grant it in Jesus' name tonight, Heavenly Father.
In God,
Father, touch this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. And dear God, one of the first things that I pick up, Lord, as she comes up here tonight, Lord God, is that she's concerned, Father, about her lost children. And I pray, dear God, that you will bring her children in, oh God. I pray that you'll do something special for her children. Father, and that daughter that she's been concerned about, oh God. Lord, that it looks like that doesn't love her and care for her. I believe that you'll put love in her heart, God, and make her to care for her. Lord, and answer this desire of her heart tonight. Do something for her in the name of Jesus tonight for your glory, Father. Hallelujah. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bless this sister tonight. May your Spirit come down upon her tonight, whatever there might be. Oh God, that's blessing her mind or her heart tonight. Dear God, do something for her tonight. And oh God, let her light, let it be a light. God, give her a great blessing tonight. Send forth the light tonight, that others may see, that they may understand, that she may have the wonderful deliverance of heart tonight. Lord God, bless her. Bless all of them that she's concerned about tonight in Jesus' precious, lovely name. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will bless her. Oh God, in the name of Jesus tonight. I ask you to touch this sister tonight. Does that
let us
I feel the Holy Ghost fall. Father. I feel your blessings tonight. Let your great spirit come down in a masterful way. And during this revival, may you speak from heaven. May we hear the great, wonderful, audible sounds of the great God of heaven speaking in his great word and in his great way. And may hearts be revealed. Grant it in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' lovely name tonight. Father, touch this little I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that your spirit would be upon him, and Father, that you would heal him tonight. And oh God, whatever he's needing tonight, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would grant it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's love the Lord tonight. Let's praise God. Can you lift your hand? Father, I want you to do something for my brother tonight. Lord, I believe he loves you tonight. I believe he's concerned tonight. Lord, in his heart he's searching tonight. Lord, I picked up his spirit tonight. And he's searching tonight and he's looking for something. You know, dear God, tonight, I pray that that hunger will be satisfied. Lord God, he's been disappointed in many things. But Father, I believe. Oh, hallelujah, that he's not going to be disappointed. I believe, oh God, Father, that he's going to find the thing that he's searching for. Lord, the satisfaction is coming. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this brother tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that you'll touch him. Father, move by your spirit tonight. Help him, strengthen him for you. Lord, deliver him, oh God. Make him a testimony and give him that which he desires in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, touch my sister tonight. I pray that you'd stretch out your delivering hand tonight. And oh Father, that you'll move the bewilderment. Father, for in this heart there's been much bewilderment. And oh dear wonderful God, in searching and seeking, in love and no wanting to know the right God way to go. Oh dear God, surely there is a God, surely there is a way, and thou shalt make thyself known unto her. Yea, oh God, thou shalt speak to her. Even unto her thou shalt make thyself known. And though it seem impossible, oh God, yet the way shall be made. For he that trusteth in me shall find life, and he shall find light, for he shall find the way. For I am the way, and I shall give thee a life, and I shall give thee a way at the time needed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sister, he was speaking to you then. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the tears in the sister's eyes tonight. As she stands here tonight, Lord, there's tears in her eyes. Father, she's looking far away. And Jesus, you said, I am the way. Oh God, oppression is great. And trouble and worry, Father, is great. But nevertheless, Father, there is a power of deliverance. There is something that can lift up. There is something that can strengthen. And tonight, beloved Father, I pray that you will take away every weight. I pray that you would speak to these people, Lord, as they come through this line, Father, and that you would cause faith to rise in the hearts of these people, that they may believe tonight.
Hallelujah.
Lord, that they may understand tonight, and that you may minister to them the great wonderful things of God.
He touched me. And
Father, in Jesus' name tonight,
the joy
I pray that you stretch forth your powerful hand of salvation tonight. Father, give your wonderful love from heaven. And dear God, whatever's lacking in the soul tonight, I pray that you grant it. You said you'd purify hearts by faith, Heavenly Father. And I pray tonight that she'd believe, oh God. She's heard the word tonight. She's heard your lovely word tonight. And I pray that she'll believe. And I pray that your spirit would enter into her. And God, that every shackle would be taken off of her. Every burden would be lifted. Every bondage would be taken away. God, I pray that everything, every yoke would be loose, Jesus. God, that she can find freedom tonight. I pray that you'd heal her in the name of Jesus. Save her soul and deliver her. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Completely free tonight, wouldn't you? Would you be willing to give up everything?
Let's believe God. Father, Lord, this girl wants to be free. Lord, I saw the tears come into her eyes as I talked to her. And I saw the yoke broke. And oh God, as you revealed, Lord God, this happened in her life. Father, that she needs to be free. I want you to deliver her, oh God. Take it away now. Lord, because she's sincere. And she's honest. And she loves you, Jesus. Oh God, there's something special, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel faith. Praise God. I feel God. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. I feel the Holy Spirit moving. I can hear Him speaking tonight. I can hear Him talking as He reveals the hearts of people, as He reveals things to me. And I can see that there's sincerity in the hearts of some of these people that are coming before me tonight. I want you to pray and I want you to believe tonight. Father, the tears in this sister's eyes standing here tonight proved, oh God, that she believes. I want you to help her. I want you to touch her. And dear God, Lord, all of a sudden as this decision comes whirling out of her heart toward me, Father, she's trying to make this decision. Now, oh God, you see, Lord God, the seriousness of it. And I see the seriousness of it. And oh God, you're going to help her with it. And you know the right thing for her. Heavenly Father, for Father, a decision like this, dear God, is a lifetime thing. And Father, you know what must be done. And Father, when she makes the commitment, she knows it's for her life. And dear God, may she make it, oh God. Lord God, so believe, may she make it according to thine understanding, according to thy will. May it be thy will. I pray, God, that you do it for her. And I know that you're going to help her with it. Oh God, in Jesus' name, I know that you're going to do it. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sister, he's going to help you with that thing. You love Jesus? The Lord wants to help us tonight, and He wants to do something for us tonight. And I can hear Him speaking loud and clear tonight, real loud and clear, as we pray. Let's be sincere, let's love Jesus tonight. Fathers, I pray for this sister tonight. I pray thee in the name of Jesus that you would touch her heart. Lord, that you would lead her, that you would guide her. That you would help her. Speak to her tonight, Jesus. In your great spirit, in your great mind, in your great word, and in your great power. For you're the God of heaven. You're the God of the earth. And Father, may the past be put behind her. And Father, may that dark day, Lord, that she remembers never come across her path again. May the dark day of trouble, Lord, that has struck her mind and heart so many times, may it be hid forever to never come across her path again. Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee in the name of Jesus. For the blood doth cover the sister. God doth purify her heart. And in Jesus' name, I have made her free. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. My rest is complete. Praise God. I want you to pray with me now. This brother says he'd had an operation and a disc been taken out of his back and the bone moved. And said that the doctors say that there's just no way that he'll ever be able to lift anything heavy or do anything like a normal person anymore. But as sure as you live in this world, he's going to do what the normal person does, and he's going to be able to lift again. As sure as you live in this world, I declare it in your ears tonight by faith in God, he's going to do it. He come here in faith tonight, and I feel faith that he's going to be able to do it. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, God, you're going to restore this back.
You're going to restore this, God. You said, I'll restore what the cankerworm is eating, the years the locust is consumed. Master, create. Lord, you're the power of creation. Create. I want you in Jesus' name tonight. As I feel the anointing of God. Father, heal tonight. Father, restore that back. Restore that strength. Give him the power to do it. Right now, Lord.
Oh, take your praise, God.
You love Jesus.
The Lord, he won that.
Glory to God. I believe he can do it right now.
If you
now, you might say, I don't believe. Don't I believe he can do it right now. He can grab whatever he wants to, and I believe it'll work right now.
Take
you say you're crazy to tell him that. I'll tell him that in the name of the Lord. I believe he can do it right now. I felt God do something for him.
If the world from you withhold of
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to touch this man with your great spirit. Father, deliver him.
Just remember,
oh God, I see him searching. Father, sometimes we get overconfident that we know the way and we know the right things. And then, Father, when we do, we find complications and we find heartaches and we find sorrows and many things that if we could undo, we could undo them, Father. But sometimes we find ourselves in such a place that it's very difficult. But I pray tonight that all will be well to this brother. And I pray in Jesus' name that he can be filled with thy great spirit and love. That he can be healed and be delivered, oh God, from every power of oppression. In Jesus, Lord, you know that following after the things of this world, oh God, that can never do it. And you know, dear God, that Lord Jesus, there is no way, Lord, that we can find peace when we turn, oh dear, wonderful God, to the
sentence,
Lord, to the powers, oh God, of this world. Jesus, we know that dope nor drink of the things of this world can never pacify. But we know that your liberties, your freedom, your power can deliver. And I pray for deliverance tonight. I pray for blessings tonight. I pray for leadership in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to give strength into my precious Christian fellow tonight. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. Father, may this person tonight receive strength. Dear God, first of all, I want you to strengthen this nerve system. I want you to strengthen
just take your
I want you to strengthen this body. Father, eradicate the disorders of this body. Oh, hallelujah.
If you trust, don't ever doubt how he will take your burden to the Lord and be
hallelujah.
Go leave them there.
Just Father, I feel you do it. I feel you do it.
Take your burden to
praise God. Hallelujah. Praise.
If you trust,
praise.
Don't ever doubt.
Praise God. Have you felt that
thank
tonight?
You. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
God done something for you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. You know, I see these just people standing here and the tears in their eyes.
Go leave.
You love Jesus. Let's love Jesus tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we pray for this sister. Father, I want you to heal her body.
If you trust, don't let her down.
Lord, she's concerned. It seems that she can't live an overcoming life like she wants to, and she's troubled about many things. And as the dark shadows of the past fall across her,
And if your
Lord
body
God terrorizes
suffers pain,
but you're God.
No, God, the blood of Jesus that comes down from heaven
washes us clean.
Father, forgive tonight
and do something.
Oh, my Father.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel God healing. I feel God doing something tonight. I just feel Him doing something. Father, bless my brother tonight. Do something for this brother tonight. May the blessings of God be upon him. May the love of God be in his heart tonight. May the Spirit of God overshadow him tonight. I pray that you'd heal his body. I pray that you forgive his sins. I pray that you'd bind every yoke, oh God. Break it off of him, Lord, and take it away from him, Father, tonight. Give him strength. Help him, Father, in his decisions also, Father, for life. Dear God, help him, Lord, with his children and problems. Help him, dear God, with his finance. Oh, dear God, as he struggles through life, help him. You're able to do it. Lord, many financial problems, but you promised to be a securer. Lord, and he's a man of integrity that wants to pay his bills and being concerned about his finance. I'm asking you, Lord God, to stand with him every day of his life. Make him a blessing. For Lord, he's much needed in the kingdom of God. And Lord, in the power of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen.